want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
The title of this message is Renew, Remember, Repent, and Return. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
This is one that got a hold of me many years ago. And again, I've shared this before, but this ought to get a hold of you too. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 8 and 9, God is speaking through the prophet. He says, "When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, then he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself." I want to tell you, I remember the first time that hit me. That hit me so hard because I'll be honest with you, I was a soft preacher. I really was. I would soften everything. Right up front, I softened everything. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings and so on and so forth. And I had to learn. It was this scripture that got a hold of me and said, "Boy, you better straighten up and fly right. And you better tell it like it is. And you better worry more about what I think than about what people think." James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Now turn to your neighbor right now and say, "Repent." The story was told of a famous rabbi who was walking with some of his disciples when one of them asked, "Rabbi, when should a man repent?" And the rabbi calmly replied, "You should be sure to repent on the last day of your life." "But," protested several of the disciples that were following him, "we can never be sure which day will be the last day of our life." And the famous rabbi smiled and said, "Exactly. That means repent immediately. Repent quickly. Get things right immediately." All right, number four, let me give you the last one. So they returned. This is how revival comes. If God's people will do these things, revival will come. You don't have to have a slick marketing plan. You don't have to advertise it. And you don't have to make stuff up and fabricate stuff. When God's people are doing these things that we're talking about here, revival happens. 2 Kings 23:25. "Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses." What did they do? They returned their affection to the Lord. People turned their affection toward all kinds of things other than God. And I want to tell you a hard thing that I had to swallow. If I don't love God more than I love my wife, if I don't love God more than I love my children, if I don't love God more than I love my father or my mother or my brother or my sister, if I don't love God more than I love any other human being on this earth, then I have an idol in my life. And God says, "I'll have no other gods." But if I do love God more than I love anybody else, then here's the good news. Then now God's love will also fill my heart and help me to love all those other people the way they should be loved. So Josiah, the scripture is careful to note, was passionate in his devotion to the Lord. You know, in 1746, Jonathan Edwards published a book called The Religious Affections, in which he argued that true religion must consist very much in the affections. In other words, you know, we like to say, "I'm not religious, I just love the Lord," or "I'm not religious, I just have a relationship." But in the context of what he's talking about true religion. He's talking about if I'm claiming to have a relationship with God, then there should be an affection toward God. And he argued true religion must consist very much in the affections. In other words, it must affect me in even the way I feel. Edwards believed that one of the chief works of Satan was to convince men that affectionate responses to God are to be guarded against. This mindset, he warned, will bring all religion to a mere lifeless formality and effectually shut out the power of godliness. So he's talking about men who thought they were supposed to be stoic and tough and, you know, men never cry and men never show emotion and that kind of thing. And Jonathan Edwards, who was a great revivalist, and he was the guy that led the Great Awakening in the United States, he said, men, don't fall for that trap. He said it'll bring all religion to mere lifeless formality. And when religious systems become just formal and lifeless, then what happens is all kinds of corruption begins to get in there. That's why we see denomination after denomination after denomination over the last 7 years going through major splits, because leadership, it's very formal and all that, but they've allowed just all kinds of sinful things to just become part of their norm. Edwards went on to say, there is no true religion where there is no true religious affection. If the great things of religion are rightly understood, they will affect the heart. It's not just about going through motions. He's saying your heart's going to be in it. One of the undeniable features of revival is that God's people turn their affections back to God. And they get passionate about serving God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their strength. We saw that in the scripture. We saw that where Josiah said that, and the people followed up with that. And when we truly understand what Christ has done for us, we can't help but be filled with joy. When people never praise, look, when people walk into a church like this and pretty much just do nothing but stand around watching, and they're not involved. They're not involved in worship. They're not involved in, like, they're just going through motions or whatever. I guarantee you those people don't have a real revelation of what Jesus actually did for them. They don't have a real revelation of the fact that they absolutely, totally were completely lost without him. And he did the unthinkable and he did the impossible to bring salvation to us. Revival is by necessity a heart-centered activity, and love is the motive of repentance. The New Yorker had a cartoon where a young boy in math class is standing at the chalkboard with other students, and the teacher had written a problem on the board for each of the students, and that problem was 7 times 5 equals. And so all the students except one got up and they answered it right, 35. 7 times 5 equals 35. And so another little boy gets up there and he writes 7 times 5 equals 75. And so the teacher obviously told him, no, that's not the right answer. And he tells her, well, it may be wrong, but it's how I feel. Now that sounds ridiculous, but we have an entire culture right now that this is how they live. It doesn't matter if it's wrong. It's how I feel. That's a perfect metaphor of our culture, responding to the cartoon's message. Stephen Carter, a professor of law at Yale University, said this. He said, faith is dead, reason is dying, but how I feel is really strong. And I'm telling you, tell somebody, take that the truth. People are not interested in the Word of God because they're not interested in the truth. People are not interested in God's will because they're wrapped up in doing their own will, doing what they want to do. People want to go by their feelings, which is much more to their liking. The Word of God must reemerge in our lives. Now listen, I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about we should have affection toward God, but what's happened is we've allowed our affection to go toward all the things of the world, and I'm talking about the church. 350 years before Josiah was born, an incredible prophecy came forth, and we're going to end with this. But this was amazing to me. 350 years before Josiah was born. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, by the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. As Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering, he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, O altar, O altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priest of the high places who now make offerings here, and human bodies will be burned on you. He's literally prophesying hundreds of years before that Josiah would rise up and he would put an end to the false worship. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 33, Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites, and he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. As long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their fathers. Now, that's a wonderful thing, but it's also sad also. It's sad because these people, many of them, unfortunately, didn't take on the same affection toward the Lord that Josiah himself had. Because see, you can tell people this is what you're going to do, and you can make something illegal and tell them you can't do this, but if a person's heart is not turned toward God, the moment the leader that's holding them accountable is not there, they're going to go back to who they really are. That's why you better live your life. You better have a relationship with the Lord, no matter whether you're around a pastor or not. So I tell people, I get around people and they'll start cussing. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot you're a pastor. And I say, man, there's somebody way bigger than me that you need to be concerned about. Right? So if you get convicted because you're cussing around a pastor, you ought to get convicted because you're cussing at all. Or whatever the sin is. Right? Because God is a whole lot more powerful than any pastor. All right, so real quickly, number one, they renewed their covenant with God. Number two, they remembered their God-given provision, talking about the sacrifice of Christ. Number three, they repented of their lawless idolatry. And number four, they returned their affection to the Lord. I believe that God wants a true revival to happen in this country. And he wants it to happen in this community, and he wants it to happen in this church. And it's not just about a bunch of feelings, not just about, you know, some showy stuff. It's about people's hearts completely turned to God, getting on fire for God, and going about their Father's business. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators. We know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.